in the Bible that deal with us being stewards of the resources that God has blessed us with. Last time that we met, we saw that if you wanted to be a good steward of the gifts that God has given to us, that you would learn to give in obedience, you'll learn to give in worship, you'll learn to give in gratitude, faith, and learn to give in joy and love, and lastly, you'll learn to give in blessings because God desires to bless you as you give back to Him. In Matthew chapter 23, you might be reminded that Jesus rebuked those scribes and those Pharisees for what they were not doing, but yet still recognizing what they were doing. And they were careful to tithe of every plant that produced condiments, such as mint and thyme and anise and cummins. And then commended them by saying this, "These ye ought to have done." Notice that Jesus didn't tell them, listen, you don't have to give a tithe anymore because now we're under the age of grace. We're in the New Testament, so to speak. He didn't tell them that. He said, "These things ought ye to have done." And so notice, I want to remind you that you and I are to be partners with God. And we can do anything without God. Many times we believe that we can even just give our tithes without God. Listen, we can't do that. Everything that we do with God being a partner with Him. In the Old Testament, as God provided the people healthy bodies and then gave them strength to work, He commanded them through His prophet Malachi to bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. And notice what He said, that there may be meat in thine house. Listen, that applies to every one of us today. That's a picture of the local New Testament church. And we're to bring all our tithes on the first day of the week into the house of God. And as God provides us with strong bodies and strength to make some kind of money, He expects us to be trustworthy partners by giving Him back His portion that He has entrusted us with. And that's why God commanded in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verses 1 through verse number 2, He says this, "Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God has promised him, that there be no gatherings when I come." Notice it says in this verse, every one of you, as God has prospered that you and I are to give. You don't have to worry about giving like a millionaire. I don't know if there's any millionaires in this church. There may be a few millionaires in this church. But listen, you don't have to tithe like a millionaire. All God wants you to do is just tithe off what He has blessed you with. That's what God's expectation is for you and I. Tithing can simply be defined as this, showing you are obedient as a partner with God. Showing that you are obedient as a partner with God. So in other words, we would say this, as God has blessed you and I, we'll give back a portion that He has set up for us to give back to Him. Listen, it has nothing to do with paying a bill to the church each week. Each month, maybe each week, we write out bills. We got to pay the power bill, the gas bill, the electric bill. We have to pay the Walmart bill. We pay the Kroger bill. We have to pay all kinds of bills, don't we? But what we do each week giving to the church is not a bill that we have to pay. It has everything to do with how we view our relationship with God. Listen, you have a great relationship with God. You don't mind writing a check out each week, giving to God. You don't even mind writing it out to give a little extra for Dr. O'Malley or whatever we're doing here at the church. But if your relationship is not what it ought to be, then it would seem like a bill to you. It would seem like a drudgery to be able to do that. I told you last week that I really like simple definitions. Here's a simple definition of tithing. It's giving to God what's rightfully His. Now, that's an easy definition. Tithing is simply giving to God what is rightfully His. So with that in mind, let's stand as to give respect to the reading of God's Word. Once again, we'll be reading 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 through verse number 2. And then we'll pray and think on this thought of let's be good stewards of God's treasures. Let's be good stewards of God's treasures. Let's pray. Father, we thank You today for Your goodness to us. We thank You, Father, for this time that we could be here today, Father. And Lord, as we once again delve into Your Word, Father, looking at this matter of stewardship and tithing, Father, I pray, Lord, that You would challenge our hearts. Some, Father, maybe need to give a tithe. Some haven't been giving regularly. Some haven't been giving the faith promise. So, Lord, I pray, Lord, that through this message, you might speak to their hearts about their giving. So, Father, I pray you'll save that one today that never has received the greatest gift they could ever receive, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. So, Lord, we love you and we thank you, for it's in Christ's name we pray. The Bible says, let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mystery of God. Notice verse 2, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. You may be seated this morning. As we think about this idea of tithing and stewardship, being good stewards of God's treasures, I want you to notice first of all this morning what the Bible does not teach about tithing. What the Bible does not teach about tithing. You know, many people today have some unusual, and let me add this, unscriptural ideas about what tithing is and what tithing isn't. So I want to first of all this morning talk about what the Bible does not teach about tithing. Notice first of all this morning that tithing does not put you in a position to bargain with God. It doesn't put you in a position to bargain with God. Some people think this. They think when they give their tithe and their offerings and their grace giving and their love gifts, they think it's a means of buying favor with God. Maybe they think this because of how people operate in the business world. All over this country, building inspectors aren't always have the most reputable reputations that we work with. Some have even been known to demand a bribe to receive a good inspection report. Everyone is not on the take, but most are decent and they're hardworking people. I understand that. But as sad as it is, you'll find some corrupt individuals in all walks of life. I'm reminded of this one contractor who needed some help passing the various stages of the inspection. He was a good contractor. He built by the Boca Code, but this inspector just kept finding some insignificant reasons to fail his work and never would give him the permit. As I thought about this illustration, I'm reminded of our pastor emeritus, Pastor Googe, when he was setting the plumbing for this part of the building. He told me, Brother Dave, four times the inspector came out. And he said every time he came out, it was some minute, some small, insignificant thing that really wouldn't have made a hill of beans for nobody. Amen. But he said, I kept doing what he wanted me to do. And finally, after four times, they got the permit and they could pour the floor, the slab, and do what they needed to do. Well, time and material to redo that kind of work cost that contractor a huge amount of money. So the contractor did what most contractors would do. They contracted their other friends and who were builders, and they discovered that this inspector had passed their jobs. And to top it off, their work was the same as the inspector who wasn't passing his work at his job site. So finally, out of exasperation, the contractor talked to another contractor whose job had passed the inspection, and that contractor told him this. He said, I don't understand why it is that this inspector passed your job and he turned down my job when we did the job the exact same way. The other contractor just smiled at his friend and said, because you have to slip him something. The first contractor said, well, what do you mean slip him something? His friend told him, you have to grease his palm and slip some money into his hands if you want to pass the inspection. And there's a lot of people today who think that tithing is nothing more than just greasing the palm of God. Nothing more than just slipping God a little extra to buy God's favor and God's merit. They walk into church on Sunday mornings, they slip something into the offering plate, and they feel that they have the right to ask God for certain favors in their life. I thought about that. How dare we approach a righteous and a holy God thinking that we could buy God's favor by putting a little bit more in the offering plate on one particular Sunday. Let me help you. You can't buy God's favor with any amount of money. I think some people even have that mafia-type relationship with the Lord. And they feel that when they give their tithes and their offerings and their grace giving, that they're buying some kind of protection from the Heavenly Father. And they think if they put their tithe in or just give a little bit, they're buying insurance against the dangers that often befall us in this lifetime. Listen, here's the truth. If we put everything that I have and everything that you have and everything that anybody else has in all the world in one big pot, we couldn't even buy one small favor from God. It wouldn't be enough to do that. Why? Because you can't give God what already belongs to him. Leviticus 27 and verse 30, we find these wonderful words. The Bible said, "And all the tithe of the land is the Lord's. It's holy unto the Lord." So whether you and I tithe, we're not really giving God anything. He already owns it. We're just giving back the portion as being good stewards that he asked us to do so. Everything that we have belongs to God. You say, everything? Yes. This jacket? Yes, belongs to God. This belt that holds my pants up? Yes. These shoes that I wear? Yes, they belong to God. These glasses, they belong to God. I hope God doesn't want them back, but if he does, I surely would give it to him because he asked me to. You know why? Because they all belong to him. You say, well, that's silly, Pastor Carroll. Why do you say that? It's because if we don't start thinking in that line, we'll begin to think that we own everything. My house isn't my house. My car is not my car. As a matter of fact, if you want to swap me for your car, I surely would take it, amen. My wife's been dying to get rid of my little white car, but I keep telling her this, honey, it's free, amen. It's a free car, amen. There's no car payment on it. The insurance is really minimal. The taxes are nothing. I just pay a little fee for my license plate. Listen, it all belongs to God. We have to think that way. Not just the big things belong to him, but everything that we have belongs to him. And so when you and I tithe, we're not really giving God anything because everything already belongs to him. All we can do is to become a trustworthy partner with God. That's what a steward is. He doesn't own anything. He's a trustworthy partner for his master. And that's what God expects out of you and I. Tithing doesn't place us in a bargaining position with God, or does it give us leverage with God, as some people do. But notice something else this morning. Secondly, tithing also does not buy your salvation. Tithing does not buy your salvation. Trying to earn your salvation has been around ever since the fall of man in the Garden of Eden. Almost immediately after that, we find men trying to appease a righteous and holy God by the gifts of their own hands. Doesn't take long after the fall to begin to see that. Then it just goes on and on and on up to where we are today. Anyone who knows anything about Martin Luther, that great reformer, knows how disgusted he became with the Catholic Church because they taught that you could buy the souls of loved ones out of purgatory. You see, they believe in heaven. They believe in hell, but they also believe there's a purgatory. And your loved one dies, they go to purgatory. If they earn their way to heaven, they can go to heaven. But if they don't earn their way to heaven, guess what? They eventually end up in a place called hell. He also taught this, that salvation through giving, when they began to raise money for that great St. Peter's Basilica at Rome, what a wonderful place that is. I say wonderful building, constructionally, architecturally. It's a very ornate building. And so as they began to build that, they began to teach people that, listen, that you can buy your loved one's soul out of purgatory. One monk by the name of John Tinsel would tell people they could rescue their loved ones from purgatory if they would buy these indulgences. Basically, it's simply this. You do something terrible and you can give money and God will kind of overlook what you've done. And so he taught the people, listen, that if you give these indulgences, you could bring your loved ones up out of purgatory. He even had a rhyme that went like this to encourage those of the Catholic faith to buy these indulgences. And notice how clever the rhyme was. As soon as the coin in the coffer rings, the soul from purgatory springs. Amen. I guess for back in those days, it was a pretty neat little thing. But the truth of the matter is, no soul ever sprung from purgatory. There is no place called purgatory. There's a heaven for those who are saved and trust in Christ, and there's a hell for those who reject Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. There is no giving or tithing that you can do that would buy your personal salvation. If that was the case, how much do you think it would cost to buy a salvation? Something that costs God the Father everything, and Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, his life on the cross of Calvary, where he suffered and died and bled for you and I. How much would that cost? I submit to you today that if you had all the money of Jeff Bezos and all the other millionaires and billionaires in the world, you would not afford what it costs. So understand this, that tithing doesn't buy your salvation. As soon as Martin Luther began to realize that that's not what God's word taught, he began protesting these unscriptural teaching in the Roman Catholic Church. And you know as well as I, that was the very beginning of the Protestant Reformation. And so we see centuries later, hundreds and hundreds of years later, if you were to ask someone if they are saved, you're out soul winning, knocking on the door and say, do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? You'll probably get an answer something like this. Oh, yes, I go to church every Sunday. Or they say, oh, yes, my grandma knows the Lord and she is going to call me up to heaven. Or thirdly, they might say something like this for the text of our message this morning. They might say this, oh, yes, I not only go to church every Sunday, but I'm a faithful tither to my church. You know what they're really saying? What they're really saying is this. They're purchasing their place in heaven through their church attendance and through their giving. I'm reminded of Ephesians 2:5, where the Bible says this, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together by Christ, by grace are you saved. I'm reminded of Ephesians 2 and verse number 8, where the Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith and not of yourself. It is a gift of God. I'm reminded of 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 9, where the Bible says this, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling. Notice these next words that I underline on the monitor in front of you. Not according to our works, but according to his own purpose. And get this, and grace. Boy, when I found this verse, I read it 100 times probably since I've been saved. And I always read it, but according to his own purpose. But this word, and grace, popped out, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Understand this morning that tithing is not buying favor with God. Tithing is not buying salvation from God. And now that we have seen what the Bible does not teach about tithing, let's look at this idea, what does the Bible teach about tithing? You see, it's one thing to say we don't know something, but you know what? Unless we get on the opposite side, it's not really going to help us. So let's look at number 2, what the Bible teaches about tithing. We already have established from God's Word, from last message and this message, that God's word does teach us that we are to be stewards and you and I are to give a tithe to him. But when we don't tithe, notice this, firstly, tithing acknowledges God's ownership. But when we tithe, it acknowledges God's ownership. Everything that we can see, everything that we can't see, again, I want to remind you, belongs to God. Everything that we own comes from God. I repeated that several times during this message and last message. But look at James 1 and verse 17. The Bible says this, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. You understand that, again, everything that we have is a gift from God the Father because he loves us. And if you think about it, God is gracious enough to allow us to lay claim on some things. I lay claim on the house that me and Dinah live in. I lay claim on the car that she drives and the car that I drive. I lay claim on some things, but in actual reality, guess what? I'm not the owner. God is the owner of everything that we have. I thought about this. For a Christian not to tithe is as ridiculous as a man who knocks on your door, just comes right in the front door, goes straight into your kitchen. He opens up the refrigerator door, begins to eat all your food and all your nachos without being inviting into your house to eat or even offer to pay for the food that they're eating. Sounds like your adult children that come home on vacation, doesn't it? Listen, that kind of person really doesn't recognize your ownership. They don't understand that, hey, this is my refrigerator, it's my house, it's my food, and he's taking something that does not belong to him. Malachi chapter number 3, that great prophet says this, will a man rob God? Do you ever wonder why God asked that question, will a man rob God? I tell you why, because when a man doesn't tithe, that's exactly, precisely what he's doing. He is robbing God. He doesn't recognize that God is the owner of everything that he has. That same passage in Malachi says this, "Yet ye have robbed me in tithes and offerings." Now notice, for you Bible smiths, it doesn't say you have robbed me in tithes, does it? No, it says tithes and offerings. So that could lend a person who wants to be right with God to understand this, that your giving ought to be more than tithe. It ought to be offerings. Because God said, you have robbed me in your tithes and your offerings. You see, tithing is really just a recognition of God's ownership. God's ownership of yourself, and as we give ourselves, God will have the rest of our finances. And when we don't tithe, we're simply saying this, I don't recognize your ownership. I'm my own God, and it belongs to me to do with as I please to do, irregardless of what you desire for me to do. Well, we acknowledge God's ownership when we tithe, but then number two, tithing is entering in a partnership with God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 9, that first part of that verse says this, for we are laborers together with God. You know, for a business really to operate very successfully, partners have to trust each other. One partner has to trust the other partner. The managing partner has to trust the employees or partnering with the managing with the managers of the place to run that place. I'm thinking of William and Annalise and Levi. They decided one day to form a partnership and start a little store on the side of the road right in front of their house. And they got a couple of concrete blocks from around back of their house. They put them under that little tree in front of their house, and they placed a board right across the top of that. Then they each invested $5 to go buy some cheap candy from the corner store right around the block from them. And they took the candy back to the little store, and they sold everything that they had that day. The next day, they returned, and they used the profits to increase their inventory. And that was another great day. They made lots more money, and besides that, now they were selling Kool-Aid that their dad had brought them from Kroger. They're becoming so wealthy that these three entrepreneurs decided, hey, we better elect a treasurer to handle all this money that we've been collecting in. And so they did that. And after several more days of buying and selling, they had lots and lots and lots of money for their vacation trip that was coming up. The next day, when they set their store up, they found out that the one who they elected to be their treasurer had eaten every piece of candy that night, and they were sick in that morning. The other two were terribly mad at the other two. So finally, they got over to not having any inventory, and they said, okay, just give me the money. And they asked him, where's the money at? Well, the oldest one of the bunch told him that he thought they might lose the money, so he went to Walmart and spent it on a new game for his Nintendo Switch. You know, oftentimes that's the same thing people do to God each and every day of their life. They do it all the time. They spend what's not theirs, and they blame it on somebody else. Well, if we want God's work to go forward, we're going to have to be good stewards. We're going to have to realize this, that tithing is a partnership. It's a partnership between me and God. It's a partnership between you and God. It's a partnership between you and God and everyone here. It's a partnership. You know, one partner can't carry the whole load for the whole church. It takes all of us doing our part. We must obey God when he says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. You know, God trusts us to give him his share, but we must be trustworthy in giving it back. You see, God could just take his 10%. He says, no, I'm going to give you the 100%. Just give me back the 10%. He trusts us. We need to be trustworthy. Well, tithing is acknowledging God's ownership, and it's also entering into a partnership with God. And notice, thirdly, tithing is positioning yourself where God can bless you. I stated from the message from last week, and I'll repeat it again, that the reason that we tithe is so that God can bless us back as well. Malachi chapter 3 and verse number 10, the Bible says this, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now therewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that there may be room enough to receive it. Boy, God says, listen, if you give the tithes and offerings like I tell you to do, he says you will not have room enough to receive my blessings from you. Years ago, Reader's Digest printed a very interesting article about older people. Not old people, but older people, amen. In this article, they brought out that for many people, 90% of what they had worked for and they accumulated during their whole life was consumed at the end of their life by doctors, medical tests, hospital costs, and the cost of being under a nurse's care, maybe even a nursing home. And I began to wonder as I read that, I wonder if God allows those who have robbed him of his tithes and his offerings and his grace giving and hoarded everything that they can collect to lose everything that they have worked so hard for all their days. I know it's not true for everybody, but there's no doubt it's true for some people. And I can't think of a more terrible way to leave this life than by giving away all that we have worked for and worked so hard to accumulate, giving it to doctors and hospitals and nursing homes. I believe there's a better way, and that's to be an honest partner with God. This way, you'll be able to look back and to be able to see how God has blessed you. You'll be able to see how your tithes and your offerings and your love gifts and your grace giving to missions that you faithfully gave down through the years were used to win the lost, to build the kingdom of God for all eternity. I think that's the best way for you and I to do it. Well, as we close this morning, all of us are stewards. Every one of us are a steward. Problem is, are we a good steward or are we a bad steward? God said in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 2, moreover, it is required in stewards to be found faithful. You see, I always have said this, God blesses faithfulness and he blesses obedience. Stewardship involves both a role that we have and a responsibility. You know, the Bible doesn't teach us that tithing puts us in a position of bargain with God. It doesn't buy favor with God. It doesn't teach us that tithing can buy our salvation. But the Bible does teach us that tithing does acknowledge God's ownership of our life. Tithing is entering into a partnership with God. Tithing is positioning yourself to where God can say, I'm going to pour out the blessings that you'll not be able to receive them all. So let's be good stewards of that blessing that God has given us. After all, doesn't he deserve it? Let's pray. Father, we come before you this morning. We thank you for this time that we can be together, Father, to once again look at this matter of stewardship and tithing and being good stewards of the mystery of God. So, Father, we do know this, that you do deserve it. You have given it to us. It's all yours, Father. You just entrusted us with a small portion of it. So, Father, I pray that you'll continue to speak to the hearts of your people. And, God, may they bring you honor and glory through their total stewardship of their time and their talents, but also their treasures. So, Father, we ask and pray that you would bless this time of invitation, that you might receive glory and honor through our lives and our total stewardship. Save that one that's lost this morning. In Christ's name we pray.